Bible is filled with example scriptures about man's sin from the beginning of time, even to this present moment in time, that God has sought to record for us how sinful man can be. I'm sure that all are not listed in the scriptures of the sin that has taken place. And we understand there's nothing new under the sun. But it simply amazes me today some of the things that go on, that become new, of the extremes that people go to and the sins that they commit. In the scripture reading, it talks about that we are to be sober. Peter warns us to be vigilant because we have an adversary, that being the devil. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about, Satan, our enemy. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, that we need to understand about our enemy. When Paul there says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And the only way we're going to be able to overcome our enemy is that we have knowledge of God's Word and how to overcome him, that we are not to be ignorant of his devices. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. This is what we're going to be aware of. We've got to have foreknowledge of God's Word, that when those schemes, those plans of Satan, our enemy, comes before us, that we know how to react to those schemes or plans that he has for us. And no one is exempt from Satan, that God saw fit that he can approach anyone that he wants to. We learn his characteristics that are mentioned in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14, and who his followers are. They're false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, hard to detect without knowledge this angel of light and his workers. We can see it throughout the world. It's even at times probably appears in the churches of Christ from time to time. But again, we're encouraged, we're warned to be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, seeks whom he may devour. We understand Matthew 4 and verse 3 concerning Christ. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Even Christ was not exempt from Satan being able to try to tempt him, his enemy. Chapter 16, verse 23, Christ said to Peter, get thee hence behind me, Satan. You're an offense, one that would cause someone to stumble. And that's what Satan does through these devices, these schemes that he has. And it's been from the beginning of time, we understand, even with Eve. He's referring to the one who has no truth in him in John 8, verse 44, that he is a liar and the father or the originator of lies. And again, he is not bound by God from anyone that he can approach, even you and I. We don't need to feel secure being in the kingdom of God that Satan will not approach us. That's whom he seeks the most at this time, because they are his servants, his false teachers, his deceitful workers at one time who followed him. And so we need to keep this in mind. When we look at the names that Satan is referred to in the Bible, just you may want to put a definition to it. Just look how the Bible describes who this individual is. Again, he's known by various names. Four of them are found in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, where it's referred to as Satan, serpent, devil, and dragon. John there says he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. In Matthew 12 and verse 24, he's referred to as Beelzebub. This man does not cast out demons referring to Christ, except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, he is called the tempter. Lest by any means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor is vain. So we can see the names that are starting to be described to this individual whom we are to be aware of, our enemy. He's referred to as the wicked one. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, the parable of the sower, then the wicked one comes and snatches them away what was sown in their heart. That would be you and I. This wicked one. Verse 28, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. He has workers who tries to accomplish what he tries to accomplish. And these could be even in the kingdom of God. Revelation 12 and verse 10, he's called the accuser. For the accuser of our brother who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down. There's three titles that are given to Satan, which shows his authority in this world. We're living in what Satan rules in this world. He's called the ruler or the prince of this world in John 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world, now is the ruler of this world will be cast down. Now the judgment of this world, the ruler will be cast down. He's called the God of this age, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. He is called the prince and power of the air, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And who you once walked according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So these titles are ascribed to him, and we're living in this domain where he's at. And he has all access to us in every way. That God does not build a wall around us, but he has given us the shield, which is his word, to overcome it. There's metaphors that describe Satan. Matthew 13, verse 4, the parable of the sower, birds came and devoured them. He's referred to as birds. Now the seed that fell. In verse 19, he describes more accurately, refers to the wicked one who snatched seeds away. So not only referred to birds, he said, that's the wicked one, the birds, who snatches the word from your heart. He's called the enemy in Matthew 13, verse 25, while a man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Verse 28, he said to them, our enemy has done this. He's called the wolf in John 12, 10, and verse 12. The shepherd who does not own the sheep sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep. And of course, in our scripture reading, he's referred to as a roaring lion. These metaphors that describe our enemy. And there's probably a lot more that you could put to that. But making tell you that we need to know this shield of faith. Because his schemes, his plans are hard to know without knowing God's word. I leave you with this I thought was interesting concerning this. Most of us are, especially older, know who Paul Harvey was. He used a kind of 5-minute talk as far as on TV and radio of certain things. But he had one talk, he said, if I were the devil. And I look at today's age and how accurate or truthful the things that Paul Harvey talked about is happening today. He said, if I were the devil, I would engulf the whole world in darkness. He said, I'd seize a third of the real estate and 4/5 of the population, but I would not be happy until I had got the ripest apple on the tree, and that's you. He said, I'd set about to take over the U.S., beginning with the church first, and begin with a campaign of whispers. With a whisper of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve in the garden, just do as you please. No restrictions. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that God, that man created God and not the other way around. I would confide what is bad is good and what is good is square. Just think of these as Mr. Harvey talked about that we see in the generation that we live today. And to the old, I would teach them to pray after me, our Father, who art in Washington, because of what the government is doing to the Bible and to God. And then I would get organized, he said. I'd educate authors in how to make gruesome, vivid literature exciting so that anyone, anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. In other words, print something that people would desire to read more than the Bible. And that is happening. I would threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. And they try to control those things today through threats of getting to show things that they won't show. Paul says, if I were the devil, I would peddle narcotics to whom I could. I would sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. And I would tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nation at war with themselves, until each in turn was consumed. And with promises of higher rating, I'd have media fanning the flames. Look at the media today, what goes on. They're doing those things that's causing this turmoil. This is what Mr. Harvey said. He said, if I were the devil, I would encourage the schools to refine young intellect, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let them run wild until before you knew it, you would have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. And that's taking place today. He says, if I were the devil, within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could convict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress. And that has taken place. He says, if I were the devil, I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. I would make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have, give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive for those who were ambitious to have something. And that's taking place today. If I were the devil, he says, what would you bet? I could not get the whole state to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I would caution against extreme hard work and patriotism and immoral conduct. If I were the devil, I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swaying is more fun, what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, I could lure you to bed with diseases for which there is no cure. And Paul says, in other words, I just keep doing what he's already doing. I thought that was interesting. And you look at those, and that's what's taking place in our. So we need to know our enemy, who he is, and that overcome our enemies. Because, as he mentions here, 3/4 of the population, if not more, is already his followers. He also is our enemy in that he does not teach the correct way in which one may have his sins forgiven. That's why we need God's Word. As Peter preached on Pentecost, the beginning of the kingdom of the church, and those asked, man and brother, what shall we do? Those who had killed the Christ, put him to shame. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That's God's shield. That saves our soul. Whatever else is taught in this nation, concerning how man may be saved, and there's a variety of ways that teaches that's God's standard there. And so we need that. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to always know our enemy. And that's the reason we have God revealed His Word to us, that we can overcome. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come together. We stand and sing.